Well, good morning again, and in case I forget, Merry Christmas, but I'll see some of you before then. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior." Let's pray. Lord, open the eyes of our heart in this place. In the brief moments that you've given us, we would see Jesus high and lifted up. May the words that you've given us about your servant child, Mary, the mother of our Lord, speak deep truth to our own lives today as your followers. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Well, today's message is simply titled Glorify the Lord. And though it's based on the response of Mary, the mother of Jesus, to the angel's words to her, I believe as we approach Christmas this year, the closer we get, it's really about all of us who honor and trust and follow hard after Christ, the one who has touched our lives. But first, I want us to keep in mind today, some of you may be aware of this. In fact, probably most of you are aware of this. But I don't like to take things for granted because I get in trouble that way. But there were many years, I can say, that I did not realize that when this angel approached Mary, that she was just a child. She was just a young girl. She was not the image that we often have of Mary, the mother of Jesus. She was not that person. In fact, the Bible does not say in detail, but the commentaries that I've looked at say that the range was probably somewhere between maybe 13 to 15 years old, something like that, when this angel appeared to share this message with Mary. Now, I don't know about you folks, but when I was 13, if an angel appeared to me, I would have fallen out. Yeah, that would have been it. It would have been done for. But Mary responds in an amazing sort of way, and that's where I want our focus point to be today as we think about this word from the Lord. Contemporary Christian artist Brandon Heath has written a song called "Just a Girl," and I think actually I shared in the earlier service that this week was the first time I'd ever heard the song, and I really like it. Unfortunately, or maybe fortunately, but if you go to Google it or whatever, you may have another song pop up by another artist who is not Christian with the lyrics that are not as nice. But this one is a very good song. And one thing I wanted to share with you this morning was that it's got multiple choruses, and one of the choruses says this: "Just a girl, does she even know that she just changed the world? Does she even know that he will save the world? Does Mary know that he will save the world? Just a girl. She's just a girl." Now, with that in mind, think in these terms, that this teenage girl out in the obscure little town in the middle of nowhere with not many resources, being approached by an angel, all of a sudden was given the opportunity to accept the greatest mission anyone had ever been given before. But why? That raises a question with me. Why Mary? And in fact, if I could see Mary face to face, I would change the kind of the focus of the question and say, why Mary? Not just why Mary, but why did you respond that way? Why would you do that? So I can't help but ask, why would she respond the way that she did, rather than just turning and running away or begin to make a litany of excuses, as so many who have been called out through the years did, as Moses or Jeremiah or some of the others, when the angel or the messenger of God or God himself came to them and said, "I have a mission for you." And they begin to say, "But Lord, I can't speak in front of people." And God goes, "Time out. Who made your tongue? Who gave you the words to speak?" But Mary didn't do that. And we'll get to that in a moment. But before I go there, there's another contemporary song that states, "A baby changes everything," with the implication that this is going to be a good thing. this baby will change everything. But you know, folks, in real life, it's not always that way, is it? In fact, I believe sometimes having a child brings other feelings like fear and doubt and anxiety. And even when we're brutally honest, sometimes depression and loss of freedom. So a baby is seen more than a burden than a blessing. But in this case, Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." Mary's response was joy, and I believe today that's where the Lord wants you and me and all of His children to be, in that place of joy, like the candle that we lit this Advent season to represent that. The Lord wants joy for you and for me. So with that said, let me back up a minute. Do you realize, once again, some of you may realize these statistics because you've heard them, but I didn't. I'm not going to give any numbers per se, but did you realize this time of year that there are more suicide attempts? There is more binge drinking. There are more more experiences of drug and alcohol abuse and depression this time of year than any other time of the calendar year. Did you realize that? Why is that? I wonder. And as I wondered about that, I thought maybe it could be simply because as we look back over our lives and we see that period of innocence in our lives, when we were younger and things were newer and they were fresh and it wasn't so difficult and complex, and then we look at things how they are now in our hands right now and we see a very negative picture, and so some folks respond to that by self-medicating or just checking out. This time of year is that time of year. Why did she have so much joy? Why was Mary's Merry Christmas Mary, if you will, if I can say it that way? Why did Mary have a Merry Christmas and sing from the depths of her heart, "My soul magnifies the Lord and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior"? You know, I wish I knew what the tune of that was, what Mary was singing. I have no idea, and I don't think anyone does, but we could put it to something. Can we sing that chorus today, though, church? That's the question that I have this morning. Can we sing as Mary sang? I pray so. Because the reality is, if you can't sing that, you need to know that it's yours for the taking this day. You can. The Lord desires for you to be able to sing just as Mary sang, those two things. I glorify God and I rejoice in God. I glorify God in my life. I rejoice that God is in my life. And if you can sing that today, the Lord wants to take you deeper this Christmas season, to sing it in a more joyful manner, if you will. How many know the goodness of the Lord today? Praise God. And so the big question today is, what is the secret of Mary's joy that allows her to glorify the Lord? What is the secret? I simply want to cover three things today from the text, if you will. Bear with me. First, number one, Mary knew. And now everyone's looking, going, okay, Pastor, that's preaching to the choir and very simple. And yet, Mary knew. What did she know? I believe from the scripture we can take, there's two things. She knew something of God that made all the difference in the way she responded to Him. What was it she knew? Specifically, she knew that God is alive and with Him all things are possible. Mary knew that. Or else she would not have responded the way that she did. Many in the world today, and I need to say this out loud because I think, yeah, you know, we hear that message in the church. I've heard it my whole life, and I know it. I know that God is alive, and in God I can do all things well, and some things that are otherwise impossible. But folks, there are plenty in this world today that I would say do not know that and need to know that. In fact, I would even take a risk to say that it's safe to say that many in church today are in the same boat. Let me back up for a minute and say, it's not just about the songs that we sing or the rituals that we have come to experience in a building that we come to once a week and enter once a week together to be a community of faith to worship. Nothing wrong with those things. But rather, it's about the living, Almighty God that we come to meet with in this place when we gather together, recognizing that God is here with expectation to hear a word from Him every time we come together to meet in this place. And so as life goes on, as it does, and it gets kind of hard sometimes, and all of this stuff happens in our lives, I believe it can be real easy to lose that knowledge, not knowledge. But then it can become knowledge just in my head that God is alive, and simply just fall into the habit of believing, sure, I know that. I went to Sunday school. I read the book. I got the t-shirt. Done it. Been there. You know, that's not real faith. That's a concept. Whenever I begin to just think in terms of head knowledge, yeah, God's alive, that sounds good, and with God I can do impossible things, that sounds good, but if it doesn't go 18 inches from my head to my heart, then it's a concept. And it's not about a living relationship with the one who is alive and can do those kind of things. And it takes the life out of Christmas. And we're not allowed to sing, I rejoice, and my heart longs to magnify the Lord. Now, we don't all know all the details of how Mary knew what she knew from the Word of God, but we do know from this Word today that she knew this well, that God is alive, and that He can do all things well. Another valuable question for us today, though, church, is who has given up on looking for God in our midst? Now, if that's, you know, I'm not asking for folks to raise hands, but if you know that you know that you know in the circles that you operate in and that you function in and that you work in and that you interact in, that there is someone that's just, how can there be a God in this world with ISIS and all the violence and the things going on in schools and people so selfishly get out of my way or get run over attitude? How can there be a, if you know that you know that you know there is someone that's given up, who do we need to pray for? And who do we need to witness to the love of the one who is alive and with us in our midst? Repeat after me, church. God is alive. And nothing is impossible with Him. Okay, that's pretty good, but let's do it again. God is alive. And nothing is impossible with Him. No, I'm not a loud guy, but with the microphone I can do okay. Let's give the Lord a hand. Praise God that He is alive and nothing is impossible with Him. If you believe that, we need to discover creative ways to help others see that today. When you call upon Him, He will answer. And see, I believe this is one of the reasons that many churches have dropped their prayer ministry, because they simply believe that even though they're praying hard and fervently, God's not answering. So why should we do this? It's futile. But God is alive, and God is answering. And if you don't believe that, I believe you missed the boat here, as we time and time again filled this altar up last week and went through boxes of tissue and we met with the Lord and we did business here in a way that was so moving, and people opened up their heart and their spirit and allowed me into places that I've never seen and been before and trusted me, Pastor, pray for me on this, and I did, and we got a word from God. And that shouldn't be an every now and then experience for the church. That should be an expectation every time we come into the presence of the living God. As Jesus said, I sincerely want that my Father's house should be a house of prayer. Number two, when Mary was approached by the angel, her response was a confident response of what and who her identity is in the Lord. She simply said this, I am the Lord's servant. She didn't haggle about it. Well, you know, I'm just a poor little teenage girl in this small backwater town and we don't have any resources. And no, she didn't go there. Her identity was who she was in the Lord. I am the Lord's servant, period. No haggling, no fumbling around, no messing around. If we want to find true happiness and peace this Christmas season, we have to fully submit to the Lord and His lordship in our lives. That's what Mary did. We have to literally become slaves of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, even as that word comes out of my mouth, I know in Western culture there are no good connotations with the word slave or slavery. They're just not. But if you look at the Greek, at the language of and the word that Mary is using, you can easily interchange those words, servant and slave. And in the sense that she's using it, I believe this shows the depths of Mary's love and commitment and faithfulness. Mary used that word to describe, she essentially said, I'm the slave, all out for my Lord. That's who I am. So I know that God is alive and He can do the impossible. The second thing was that she saw herself as a submitted slave or servant of the Lord. Does He run things in your life? I think that's the question that Mary was answering. Yes, I am a slave to the Lord Jesus Christ. Are there some things in your life? And folks, if I'm asking you that question, I'm not pointing anyone out in particular, but as they say, three fingers are pointing back at me as much as anything that's pointing out toward the congregation. Kevin, are there things in my life that I need to surrender that He desires to have for me? Absolutely. Yes, Lord, is the answer to that. Or do you still claim freedom in some areas of your life that Jesus has tapped out to be His own? You know, it's been said this way, with spiritual living, freedom is the worst thing that can happen. Let me repeat that. In spiritual living, freedom is the worst thing that can happen. Pastor, how can you say that? Because the Word of God says that Christ came that we would be set free. But the reality is, the way that we throw that word freedom around in our culture is oftentimes a completely different connotation of what the Bible is teaching. And so the statement goes on to say, the only freedom that is real is when you and I become the Lord's servant or slave to Jesus Christ, where we fully submit to taking orders and directions from Him. That hurts my flesh, because I don't like taking orders from nobody deep down, but I will. But Jesus says that you are to be mine. I believe in Western culture, this seems upside down, where money, possessions, power, and free time to do my own things seems the greatest goal anyone could ever have in life. This is no biblical worldview. We will all be a slave to something in this life. Hear that today, church. Whether you agree with me or even like that or not, you and I will be a slave to something in this life, whether it's an appetite and even good things, friends, family, pop culture. The list can be infinitum, but one way or the other, we will serve something. Sadly, one of the ironies of freedom is that the more a person thinks they are free to do what they want, the more they are not. Galatians 5:1 puts it this way, it is for freedom that Christ set us free. Do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. The yoke that Paul is speaking of is not slavery to Christ, but anything else that holds sway over me beyond Jesus Christ. Some of the wealthiest and most powerful people in the world, I believe, are the most addicted to things that should never be their master in this world. I'll not name names, but I think it's safe to say that's true. We'll all be a slave to something. Mary's joy came from being fully submitted as a servant or a slave to the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus ruled her life. And this is how a spirit-filled person is designed to operate. Something, folks, will rule your life and mine. Something will fill that space. In one way or another, ultimately it should be Jesus. Now, I realize that this goes hard against the grain of American culture, but it's so true. Something will fill that. So finally, number three, when we see this text on Mary, Mary had faith enough to say this, may it be in accord with your plan. Now, she wasn't saying that to the angel. She was saying that to the messenger who was bringing a word from God, but saying it unto the Lord. Lord, may it be in according to God's plan. And the implication is, even though I have no clue where this is going to lead me, because number one, she knew God is alive and that God can do the impossible. Mary knew that in her heart. Number two, she knew who she was and I'm a servant of the Lord, so let it be so. And number three, she says, may it be according to God's plan. Could you imagine? Could you imagine what it would have been going through Mary's mind and heart if she could have seen the future? If she could have seen the interaction she was going to have with this child who grew up to be something that she could not even begin to comprehend, though the angel had already told her what this child was going to be and what to name him. I believe today if she could have seen what that meant, here's an image from Luke 2:35, and a sword will pierce through your soul also so that the thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. Talking of Mary and Jesus and what that's going to be like. You know, if she could have seen ahead to that when the angel came and said, you are to be blessed among women, but because the Lord has found favor with the Lord. And so here is an offer and a word from God to you. Receive it. You know, I think, and I'm only speculating, and I probably shouldn't do that, but I will here, and I think that if Mary could have seen to the cross and beyond, she still would have said, let it be so. Because I know that God is alive, and I know He can do the impossible, and I'm fully surrendered, and I am a slave of the Lord, and so if He sees this as good, then I know it's good. Even though my heart's about to jump out of my chest, I know it's good, because it's from God. I know He can do all things well. But what about us this Christmas season, church? What if God does ask me to go to a place or a situation where I'm fearful or it seems dangerous to me? Think of what He did in Jesus' life. Think of what the Father did in Jesus' life. We will not be led to a harmful path, but to a righteous and a holy life. It may be hard, and it may even be harmful from the world's point of view, but never from God's point of view. So if we allow Him to break us down in places where we can say, let it be according to your plan and not my own, I believe God can do the impossible for those who stand in that stead, as Mary did. I believe that God has a word for you today, just as He did for Mary. And you know, church, we will hear it whenever we, like Mary, can say, number one, I know that I know that I know that You are alive and You can do the impossible. Number two, as we have sang time and again here, I surrender all. And it becomes more than words on a page. And then number three, I believe that Your plan is the best for my life. When we find ourselves in that place, we receive a word from God. And Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in Christ my Savior. Even Mary needed a Savior as a sinner who needed to be saved by grace. Let me close with a soul-provoking thought from Charles Spurgeon. He states this, Mary's life purpose was twofold. Very simple. Magnify and rejoice in the Lord. Magnify and rejoice in the Lord. I believe if there's a lot of empty places in the Scripture when we think about Mary's life. It's not explained clearly what all Mary did. We know that she nurtured and she raised our Lord and she interacted with Him from time to time when she was at a wedding. You know, come, they're out of wine, and Jesus did accordingly. And there was another time in the temple when she turned and she couldn't find Him and she was upset with Him. And what are you doing? And he said, you know, didn't you know I needed to be about my Father's business? I think all of these interactions, Mary would, sometimes the Scripture says she cherished these things in her heart. And she wondered, she pondered, she thought about God and what God was doing and meant in her life. She didn't always understand, I don't think. But she always held it as something wonderful to think about and ponder. Folks, as we prepare our hearts for Christmas this year, the first part of our purpose in life should be to magnify the Lord. And so Spurgeon goes on to say, how can we do that? We cannot really make God great, though that's the meaning of the word. How then can we magnify him? First, let us think of his greatness. Let us think of his greatness. It will really be praising him if we just think of him. Have you ever thought of that? That sounds kind of redundant, but let me back up just a moment in this world, as I mentioned last Sunday, where it feels like we're kind of on this gerbil wheel at times, doing things, getting busy, and sometimes it's good stuff, but when we get so distracted that throughout the day, how many times do you stop and think about the Lord? Now, you know, I'm not calling out or pointing out or criticizing or whatever, but I am throwing a word out there to you and to myself today that I know there are times in my day whenever I've got at the end of the day and I'm like, sorry, I didn't take time to think about the Lord in this situation. But if I had, how would it have given glory to him? How often do you think about him in the circles where you work and with your friends and with your family and even among strangers whenever you're interacting and the Lord comes to mind? I'll say this just as an encouraging word. You know, sometimes, and I've said this before in the congregation, little things make a big difference, and at the time may not seem like such a big deal, but God uses them in amazing ways. And so this week, like it or not, I had to put the old van out to pasture, and it's dead. And so we had to work on getting a new to us, not brand new, but a new vehicle. And so part of that process, I wanted to go to my own bank to see what the interest rate and all of that stuff would be if I took a loan from them rather than financing it with the car dealership and all that stuff. And so in the process of that, I met a lady named Diane who was working on my, giving me the information, and she was apologetic the whole time because her computer wouldn't work worth anything. It was like a Monday on a Friday, and she kept trying to turn it on, and I can't count how many times she said, "I'm sorry," and I was like, "I don't care, it's my day off, I'm good, you got coffee, we're good." And but at one point, before we were done, because she, with the waiting on the computer, we were having side conversations, and I was finding out she's got a sister up from Florida, and she's got four grandchildren, and two of them are teenagers, and one's just 7 months old, and they're looking forward to being together. And then right at the end, whenever I was getting ready to leave, and I just stood up, and I looked her in the eye, and I shook her hand, and I said, "What can I pray for you this year?" And different people react differently to that. And she said, "My mother, her name's Margaret. And she's getting older, and we're really worried because she's going to go back to Florida with my sister, but she's falling a lot lately. And I don't know if I'll ever see this lady again, but now she knows a couple of things about me. For one, God is alive. He can do the impossible. I am his servant. I don't know that she knows I'm fully surrendered to him. But if we interact anymore, she will. And now there's a door open to have a conversation about this living God that wants to be a part of her life." I was reminded of that. You know, this season we have so many opportunities to glorify God because Christmas can be said in the marketplace with a lot of folks who have no clue what Christmas really is. But we do. And so Spurgeon goes on to say, "God cannot be greater than he is, but he can be greater in you than he is at present." Let me say that again. God can never be greater than he is, but he can be greater in you and I than he is at present, because he wants to fill us with his Spirit. More of his great love, more of his perfect holiness, more of his divine power may be manifested in you, and more of his likeness and light may be revealed out through you. I didn't make that up. A great preacher said that many years ago who I think lived it and knew it. You cannot make more of God than he is, but you can make God more consciously present in the minds of others and make them think more highly of God by what you say and what you do. That's our marching orders this season as we go out and do more than just say Merry Christmas, but we live it. I have no wish but that God should be great and that I should help to make him great in the eyes of others. My spirit magnifies the Lord, and my soul rejoices and God my Savior. Can you say that today? If so, don't stop. Keep saying it when you leave here. If you can't, today is the day of salvation, and Christ wants to make you and shape you and transform you into one that can do and say that. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your Spirit in this place today. God, thank you for a simple word of truth delivered from a heavenly messenger to a faithful servant. As a reminder that the gospel, Mary was, as they say, the first to carry the gospel, but she's not the last. You desire for us to be as she was. Oh God, I pray in this place, if there is one that does not know that you are alive, do the impossible in their life and bring them back to life from a spiritual death. For those who are here that know that they know that they know that you are alive and well and that you can do the impossible, I pray for a greater depth of surrender, a greater falling in love, a greater knowing what it means to lift up the cross of Jesus Christ and follow hard after you. And then finally, Lord, I simply pray today that we would be in a position to say, let it be so, in faith and not by sight, that we would follow after you and glorify you and rejoice in your name, and the world would see that light and salt, desire to have for their own the things that only you can give in the first place. May we really, truly know what Mary's Merry Christmas was all about. We pray today in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.